Welcome to day 131 of My Everyday Bible. This is Rita, and I'm so glad to have you back again today. We are reading today from 2 Samuel chapter 10, 1 Chronicles chapter 19, and Psalm 20 from the New American Standard Bible, beginning at 2 Samuel 10 and verse 1. Now it happened afterwards that the king of the Ammonites died, and Hanun his son became king in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent some of his servants to console him concerning his father. But when David's servants came to the land of the Ammonites, the princes of the Ammonites said to Hanun, their lord, Do you think that David is honoring your father because he has sent consolers to you? Has David not sent his servants to you in order to search the city, to spy it out and overthrow it? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved off half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. When they told it to David, he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly humiliated. And the king said, Stay at Jericho until your beards grow, and then return. Now when the sons of Ammon saw that they had become odious to David, the sons of Ammon sent and hired the Arameans of Beth-Rehob and the Arameans of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and the king of Maacah with 1,000 men, and the men of Tob with 12,000 men. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. The sons of Ammon came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the city, while the Arameans of Zobah and of Rehob and the men of Tob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel and arrayed them against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai his brother, and he arrayed them against the sons of Ammon. He said, If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come to help you. Be strong, and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God, and may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab returned from fighting against the sons of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadadezer sent and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river. And they came to Helam. And Shobach, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, led them. Now, when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan and came to Helam. And the Arameans arrayed themselves to meet David and fought against him. But the Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers of the Arameans and 40,000 horsemen, and struck down Shobach, the commander of their army, and he died there. When all the kings, servants of Hadadezer, saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Arameans feared to help the sons of Ammon anymore. 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 1. Now it came about after this that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, died, and his son became king in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to console him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the sons of Ammon to Hanun, to console him. But the princes of the sons of Ammon said to Hanun, "Do you think that David is honoring your father and that he has sent comforters to you? Have not his servants come to you to search and to overthrow and to spy out the land?" So Hanun took David's servants and shaved them and cut off their garments in the middle as far as their hips and sent them away. Then certain persons went and told David about the men, and he sent to meet them, for the men were greatly humiliated. And the king said, "Stay at Jericho until your beards grow and then return." When the sons of Ammon saw that they had made themselves odious to David, Hanun and the sons of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, from Aram Makkah, and from Zobah. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots, and the king of Makkah and his people who came and camped before Medeba. And the sons of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to battle. When David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. The sons of Ammon came out and drew up in battle array at the entrance of the city, and the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him in front and in the rear, he selected from all the choice men of Israel, and they arrayed themselves against the Arameans. But the remainder of the people he placed in the hand of Abishai his brother, and they arrayed themselves against the sons of Ammon. He said, "If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be strong and let us show ourselves courageous for the sake of our people and for the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight." So Joab and the people who were with him drew near to the battle against the Arameans, and they fled before him. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans fled, they also fled before Abishai his brother and entered the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the river, with Shophak, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, leading them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan, and came upon them and drew up in formation against them. And when David drew up in battle array against the Arameans, they fought against him. The Arameans fled before Israel, and David killed of the Arameans 7,000 charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers, and put to death Shophak, the commander of the army. So when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and served him. Thus the Arameans were not willing to help the sons of Ammon anymore. Psalm 20. Prayer for victory over enemies, for the choir director, a psalm of David. Verse 1. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob set you securely on high. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion. May he remember all your meal offerings and find your burnt offering acceptable. Selah. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your counsel. We will sing for joy over your victory, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stood upright. Save, O Lord. May the King answer us in the day we call. This is the end of today's scripture reading. earlier this week, we heard the story of how King David was so very loyal to his friend's son, Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth, and it really demonstrated David's character of having a very, very loyal heart to his friends. And then today in our reading, we find another story that again demonstrates the same character quality in David. And it is the story that we found in 1 Chronicles chapter 19, as well as being recounted in 2 Samuel. And it is where the king of the Ammonites died, and Hanun, his son, became king in his place. And David had decided, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, just as his father showed kindness to me. So he sent some of his servants to console him concerning the death of his father. But the son, the new king, took the counsel of the princes of the Ammonites, who were suspicious of David's motives in sending those consolers to the palace. They were concerned that David was trying to spy out the land and then overthrow it, now that Hanun's father, who had been David's friend and ally, was dead. But that was not what David's heart was in the situation. But as you heard, they rejected the consolers, humiliated them by what they did to them, and then it meant war. So I just bring up this story because, again, we see David's character being displayed, that he was such a loyal, loyal friend. And again, it's a quality that's so precious in the sight of God and among men. If you have a loyal friend, you won't love them forever. And David had that character quality in his life. This is not the focus that I wanted to bring up today. I want to actually focus on the psalm written by David that we read today, Psalm 20. And in this psalm, David writes of one of his spiritual secrets again. And as we have been listening to the Psalms that were written by David, and as we have been reading through the accounts of David's life and his reign as king, we are discovering some of his spiritual secrets. And one of them is demonstrated here in Psalm 20. In the 7th verse, there is a very beautiful statement. It says very simply, some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Now David was a king. He had horses and he had chariots, and he had might. He had a strong army. He was a great military leader. He could have been reliant upon, confident in, and boastful about his military might, prowess, and strategic operations that he had run over all these various years between the battles that he had with the Philistines and all these different enemies. Yet he was not of that spirit. He had a confidence that was not based in his own ability. It was not based in what he had, his resources. It was not based in anything natural or human. His reliance was in the name of the Lord our God. It was in the faithfulness of the God that he knew. And this is a call for our lives as well. We live in a day when people who have means, resources, financial assets, natural assets, military assets, can easily be boastful in their ability and in their resource level. And it would be a critical mistake. It would be an issue of pride if they did, and yet it would be absolutely an inaccurate assessment of their condition in the eyes of God. Not to mention the fact that if you are reliant on your own ability or your own resources, then very simply, you are not reliant upon God. And the person who trusts in the Lord will not be ashamed, but the person who trusts in himself will definitely eventually be ashamed, exposed, and a failure. And you may look at natural situations and famous people that you've read about and think, well, that's not true because these people have money, they rely on their money and on their natural wisdom or prowess in business or some area of expertise that they happen to possess, and they seem to do quite well. And yet the reality is, when the curtain is drawn back on life and we stand before the Lord, those who have relied upon themselves or upon their own resources will not even be recognized by the Lord. Those who have relied upon God, who've humbled themselves and realized that they need God, who have said, God, yes, you've given me gifts and abilities, but I'm nothing without you. Those people will be the people whose names will be famous in heaven. Those are the people who will be with the Lord for eternity. They're the people who on the earth will see supernatural things accomplished. I love David's attitude here in Psalm 20. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. It's very critical for us as believers to not fall into the habit of self-reliance, which is a very common thing among people where they have to rely on themselves, they have to figure it out themselves, they have to work out the problem themselves, and they never go to the Lord unless they're absolutely devastated. In fact, I think one illustration that I found about this issue of self-sufficiency is quite helpful in what is common practice, it seems to me, with human beings. In the highlands of Scotland, where they raise a lot of sheep and the grass is so beautiful and green, and yet there's a lot of steep places and rocky places that the sheep can wander off into, it's very common that a shepherd will have to go and rescue a sheep who's gotten himself into one of those very steep spots on the mountain and can't get themselves out. For example, a sheep who is following the green grass might end up wandering off into the rocks and get into a place that he cannot get out of. The mountain grass in Scotland is very, very sweet, and the sheep like it, and they will jump 12 feet, 14 feet down to get to a patch of grass in a rocky area, and then they can't jump back again up to where the rest of the sheep are and where the shepherd is. And a shepherd in that area, they'll hear them bleeding in distress, but they will intentionally wait for days until that sheep has eaten all the grass that it can, and now it's absolutely has no other resource left, and until that sheep is so faint that it can't stand up. And then once it's in that position where it cannot stand on its own, it has no more resources left to itself, then the shepherd will put a rope around him and he'll pull that sheep up over that craggy cliff or rocky area back up to where the rest of the sheep are located, and quite literally save them out of the jaws of death. Now, why won't the shepherd go rescue them before that? And the reality is, a sheep who's actually gotten himself into that type of a position, if the shepherd came after him to try to get him, he would get nervous and potentially jump off the over the precipice or end up further down the rocky slope there. And he has to wait until that sheep has nothing left, no strength left, no resource left, no way of escape left. And it's essentially lost all his own way. And that way, the shepherd can save him from disaster. And it's oftentimes that way with people. They won't turn their eyes to the Lord when things are going well, when they have all the resources they need, when they can handle things themselves, like that sheep. He can walk around, he can find the green grass, he feels all fat and happy. But until a person, oftentimes this happens, until a person has no friends left, they've lost everything, they have no strength left, and they realize they can no longer deliver themselves, that's the time so often that a person will finally turn to the Lord, cry out for help, and realize they don't have the self-sufficiency they need to deliver themselves. But God doesn't want us to wait until that circumstance happens in our life. God wants us to live a life of reliance upon, confidence in, trust in the Lord every day of our life. And if we do that, then we have far more resources available to us than we ever did before. I will give you an example from my own experience in the ministry. Back in 2007, we opened the doors to Treasures of Africa Children's Home, an orphanage in East Africa in the nation of Tanzania for AIDS orphans and abandoned children. We did it at the literal word of the Lord. It wasn't something I was dreaming of doing. It wasn't something that I thought I could easily do. I had been ministering in Tanzania for some years at that point and realized it is not easy to get things done in that particular country for many reasons, with the government and different things. And just the reality of how much it costs to do ministry overseas when we're based in the United States. So when the Lord spoke to my heart that we needed to establish this orphanage and do what God would do for these fatherless children, I knew there was no option for me but to 100% rely on the Lord, because I was quite sure I could not do this myself. There was no way. I did not have the resources. I did not have the wisdom. Nothing. So from the beginning, I was quite aware of my tremendous need for God to help us. So we began in 2006, rented a building. Took us almost 9 months to rehabilitate this building that we had rented, to make it habitable and appropriately equipped and safe and secure for the children that we were going to accept into our orphanage. So after 8.5 months of very hard work and finally a lot of work with the government to get it all approved and ready to open the doors, we opened the doors in 2007, early 2007, in March of 2007. Well, not long after that, though we had had lots of enthusiastic help from different people in the U.S. and generous donations that helped us get to that point and to begin the whole process of running this orphanage, the United States economy began to go into a steep nosedive, so that by the beginning of 2008, the finances that had been flowing in fairly regularly, though we really did have to believe God month in and month out to supply the needs, to pay the salaries of the workers at the orphanage and take care of all their physical needs, pay their school fees, pay for their medical attention and food and clothing and every possible thing that would come up with children, we found ourselves facing an amazing lack financially. As 2008 progressed through the year and people in the U.S. began to lose their jobs and lose their homes and things just really started to get worse and worse economically in the United States, our need to press in and rely upon God only became more intense. And I'll tell you the truth, I was so grateful that we had begun by faith. We hadn't begun by trusting that we had plenty of donors or helpers or money in the bank in the United States or any of that. We didn't start that way, because that wasn't the case. We started by the grace of God, by relying on the Lord. And so when even more difficult times came, we were still in the place of relying upon God, only we were learning to do it at a deeper and a more intense level than ever. And in a way, it was a school of how to walk by faith. And it was truly a school of how to trust the Lord, how to rely on the Lord for daily bread, how to rely on the Lord for wisdom when you're facing impossible situations and you don't have the money to pay your staff and paydays in 2 days. And we had so many situations that came and we needed to buy food and literally didn't have the money. And miracle after miracle we saw in the process of relying daily upon God Himself. Some boast in chariots. And that statement from the psalmist David is a reference to somebody who's confident in what they have in their possession. Some boast in chariots and some in horses. He's talking about military might, obviously. He's talking about people who had the resources to overcome a challenge of an enemy army. And in our case, some boast in their bank accounts. Some boast in their donor base. Some people boast in their connections with rich patrons or something like that. But that was not where we were at when we started Treasures of Africa Children's Home, and it is not the case now. But we boast in the name of the Lord our God. And I can truly tell you to this very day that I'm speaking to you that God has been faithful to miraculously, abundantly, amazingly supply day-to-day needs of caring for orphans in Tanzania. When we didn't have some backup plan, we didn't have a plan B. If no money comes in this month, we'll do this. We had no backup plan. We only had one plan, relying upon the Lord our God. And I can tell you today, the doors are still open. The children are prospering by the grace of God and nothing else. The bills are paid by the grace of God month to month, but and nothing else. And God is worthy of your trust, and He's faithful to those who trust in Him, and those who trust in Him will not be ashamed. We can say that we boast in the name of the Lord our God. His name is good. He's God, the faithful God, and He never lets us down. We have walked through very difficult times, and I'm not saying that you'll not see challenges or difficulty. I could tell you stories for days of how intense the pressure has been financially at different seasons of the orphanage's existence. And yet, we have always gone back to that same place of just simple, humble reliance on the Lord and watching Him do miracle after miracle. We need them day in and day out. We still need them month in and month out. And yet, trusting in and relying upon the Lord and not your own ability, not your own way of manipulating other people or anything, is the only way to be satisfied, to have the joy of the Lord, and to know that the Lord Himself will be your deliverer. I want to encourage you. The spiritual secret of King David is one for the ages. It's one for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what God wants for all of us. So this week, make it your determined purpose that God Himself will be the place that you look to, that you rely on, that you put your trust in, and that even though you have abilities and gifts and all of that, those are God-given. Don't do it in your own strength. Commit your ability, your gift, whatever you do have, your resources, your finances to the Lord and say, Lord, here's everything you've given to me, but my trust is not in those things you've given me. My trust is in the name of the Lord, my God. The Lord will bless you, help you, and do miracles on your behalf, and you'll have a testimony to give to people that will honor and glorify God. God bless you, and I pray you have a very powerful week in relying upon the Lord. If you'd like to read about our orphanage, you can go to our website, treasuresofafrica.org, and you can read about the children and read some of our stories. I believe they'll bless you and encourage you. God bless you, and I'll be with you again tomorrow.